Well, good morning, church. It's almost Christmas. How many of us still have shopping to do? It's a wonderful time. I was excited to hear our Farsi-speaking ministry having a gathering. Many who do not have family here joined together and as the family of God, and it's a wonderful thing that this can happen, so we're really excited about that. Appreciate them. We've been looking this Christmas at one passage of Scripture, and I want to read it for you. Let's just dive right in. And it's not a traditional Christmas story from the Gospels, but we find it in the Epistle to the Galatians, where the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, was explaining about what Christ has done and how he has freed us from the bondage of the law, the Mosaic law, and all of the burdens of trying to obey it all. And then we read these words, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Now, I remember, for those who weren't here a few weeks ago, I'm going to mention this Christmas Eve too, especially for our community people that aren't here, and for those of you that might be wondering, why does it say sons and not children? And I went to versions of the Scripture hoping to find a gender-neutral version, and I was surprised to find sons in all of them, and in most of them, and here's why. Because in the culture, the Greco-Roman culture, and in the plan of God, it was to, we're going to see, to adopt them as sons. That is to give them status in that culture, the status of a son. That is what Christ has come, or God has done for us, for every single person, man, woman, child, that trusts in Christ. You have been given status as sons. And in that culture, you got all of the benefits and the inheritance. So he's applying that to every single person. All right? Get it? That's good. Okay, so we carry on in the next few verses with the verse that Amy taught on last week. And Amy, you did a fantastic job. I was just so proud of you. You did a wonderful job in handling the Word of God. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." And so today's verse, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." This little series, we're looking at the whole fact about given, that God has given to us status in His family, closeness in relationship, and inheritance in life and eternity especially. So, our verse today, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." Today is absolutely fantastic news. You ought to leave this place with an unbelievable smile on your face for those of you who have already been adopted into the family of God. And if you are here this morning, you got brought to church because it's Christmas and your family dragged you. I get that. I was a teenager once and my dad was a pastor. I had no choice. Got dragged to every church service, morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you name it. But I get that. But I want to say to you, you're going to discover something absolutely fantastic this morning. And you have an opportunity to actually respond to that. And by faith to appropriate what we're going to talk about, and it can become a truth and a reality in your life. "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir through God." You see, in Christ we are adopted into the family of God, given privileged status as sons, and we enter into a life of spiritual freedom, not one of bondage to law, not one of fear, but one of freedom. Freedom from the law doesn't mean that we become lawless and do whatever we want to, but rather Freedom from the law means that our relationship with God is one of freedom, where we are not dependent on trying to earn His favor or try to live in such a way that we connect with God by living perfectly through the entire Mosaic law that we find in the Hebrew Scriptures or the Older Testament. No, it means that we are free from that weight, free from slavishly serving the taskmaster of the law, and we are no longer a slave to it. We have freedom. We are not slaves in unrighteousness. We are not a slave to sin. We have the freedom to choose not to sin now. We are not a slave to fear. We are children of God by faith. We are not a slave to our flesh and its desires, but we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are given freedom and the privileged status as sons. He says, if a son, an heir through God. Yeah, as a son to the Father in Christ, we've been given this promise of joint inheritance with Christ. This is absolutely mind-boggling to try to comprehend. That everything that Jesus Christ, by living a perfect life and being connected completely with the Father and all of the blessings that He enjoyed in Christ, we are heirs of every spiritual blessing. That in Christ, God chose us. That in Christ, He revealed Himself to us. He regenerated, that is to give us a brand new spiritual nature that is actually alive with the very life of God Himself through the Holy Spirit. He brought us into relationship with Himself through Jesus, adopted us into His family. He never leaves us. He works in and through us, and He promised us life in the kingdom that starts now and never ever ends, all the way through to the new heaven and the new earth at the end of time, as we know it. Yes, as one author said this week, I don't even know if it's a word, but sonship is heirship. They are equal, and by virtue of being one, you are the other. It's amazing to me that, you know, we get the Father's presence, an inheritance of blessing, the kingdom. Children who remain in the family will never, ever be cut off from the inheritance. Nothing can destroy it, no one can steal it, and it will never, ever lose its value. Now, we're going to unpack this in a second, but I just want to lay the groundwork. In a sister passage, when the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was writing to the believers in the church in Rome, in the great city of Rome, here's what he said, very similarly. Now, if we are children, then we are, what's the word?
Heirs.
Heirs of God. You see, that's the biggest thing. Sometimes we get hung up in the beauty of heaven someday, but we are heirs of God. You are His, and He is yours. You inherit God. Think about that. That's incredible to me. Yes, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. You see, it's very important because many Christians think that, well, if I'm adopted and I'm an heir of God, then life should just be smooth sailing. That I should never have problems, never have difficulty, or never suffer. But this passage teaches very, very clearly that we're heirs of God if we share in His sufferings. They have a purpose, though. And that is, they will prepare us to share in His glory. You see, being a child of God does not guarantee that you won't endure suffering in this life. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. It doesn't guarantee that we won't suffer, but it does guarantee that we will share in Christ's glory or in his glorious inheritance. What I want to have us do this morning is to think about and come to a full realization of what it means to respond to such an incredible and sometimes incredulous sounding truth. Responding to what God has given us by adoption, by status as sons, and by being his heir. So let's look at this morning. This is going to be also our application. So the first thing is, how do we respond? First of all, I receive his family invitation. I receive his family invitation to join his family, to be adopted. God's invitation to adopt us into his family is a gift of his grace to us who are in Christ, and it is received by faith. It is a truth that's available, but it is only appropriated in your life or made real or applicable to you when you personally, by faith, believe it and receive it by faith, his gift to you. It means by faith to reconsider your beliefs about Jesus, about the Messiah, the Son of God, how you live, to trust what he's done on your behalf through his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, to believe that he gives you his true eternal life within your very being, and then to entrust your life to his leadership, this present life, through his word and spirit as you respond. Yes, I receive his family invitation by faith, and it is appropriated to me and to you. You see, you just don't drift into suddenly be a child of God. My son, Caleb, has a lot of friends still from high school, finished university, but they still all hang out up in our neighborhood. And we were talking with some friends recently about this, and literally, one of them who's going to be at Christmas dinner with all of our family, his name is Jazz, and he just walks in, doesn't ring the doorbell, doesn't knock, he just walks in. And one night I was sitting in the family room, I was reading, it was about 11:45 at night, and all of a sudden, punched in the arm, I had my ear pods in, scared the life out of me. Leah's long sleeping, and I look, oh, there's Jazz, Jazz, oh man. Where was I going with that? Just hang on a second. I have no idea. Let me try and think of it. Yeah, okay, yeah, something like that. Something like family. Here's what it is. It doesn't matter how long or how much Jazz hangs out at our house. He's actually not a Gould. And you can hang out at church and with Christians, but it doesn't make you a child of God. The only way you get born into the Gould home is to be born in, and simultaneously as you're born, you are adopted into the family. And the same thing spiritually, you can come to church, you can go, you can do all kinds of good things, but until you actually, by faith, receive the adoption and the relationship that comes from God, you still are not a child of God. You're not adopted into his family. And this Christmas would break my heart to think that many of you, or some of you in this room, who come week by week, some of you year by year, have yet to respond by faith and receive the free gift that God holds out for you, adoption into his family through the person of Jesus Christ as you trust him. Maybe this is your year, your day, your week, your month, where you respond by faith. Well, how do we respond? Well, I receive that. Here's the verse of Scripture that's so well known to those who have been grown up in the church, but it tells us about this very clearly. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. Have you ever received God's family invitation by believing and receiving Christ into your inner being? You can do that this morning. You could do that this afternoon when you leave here. You could ask someone after the service, you know what, I've never done that and I want to do it today. And someone would love to help you. You can't earn it. It's no child earns adoption. You get chosen. You receive. You become. Here's the second thing. In responding to what God has given, not only do I receive his invitation into his family, I enjoy his family privileges. And you should. You ought to lean in and enjoy all of the privileges that come with being a child of God. So many Christians don't engage and enjoy and revel in and apply all of the wonderful, beautiful privileges that are ours as children of God. You see, God blesses his children with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. In right relationship with God and right standing of God, we get to be deeply and unconditionally loved by the Father. And Ephesians 1:3 says it, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I began to think about what some of these things are. Friends, do you know these? Do you revel in it? Do you experience them? Here's the first one. He is always ever present. He is available and present all the time. The very spiritual life of Jesus, he shares with us. And sometimes we just don't really, you know, we drift and we just kind of think it's, you know, some religious stuff or believing certain doctrinal truths, but actually the very life and presence of Christ himself through his Holy Spirit lives within us. I mean, just think about that. Being forgiven and cleansed. Not only of the principle of sin before we became followers of Christ, where we were in a wrong position in front of God and wrong standing before God. Now, by faith, we've been forgiven of that. We've been transported now into a right relationship with God, a right standing before him. And not just that, in this stage now, in a right standing before God, sometimes we do acts of sin that just junk up the harmony of the relationship, and those get forgiven too when we ask him. We don't have to do things to try to wipe out that guilt. We just come in simple faith and contrite heart before God and we say, I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? And we turn from that sin and we receive his forgiveness. The right standing is already settled, but it's the things that create disharmony in the relationship, where we do things wrong. Some of you are married in this room. And so you're in a different standing than when you were single. And not every time do you do things that, you know, just thrill the heart of your partner. We do things or say things. And if you're not married in the room, you know it with your friends or your parents. We do things that kind of, oh, suddenly there's tension. But we can come and gain forgiveness from that, and it removes the disharmony in the relationship. It doesn't mean the relationship is gone, it's just that it removes the disharmony. Oh, we get this with God. He's given us His Word to reveal and teach and strengthen and warn and transform and equip and make us complete. He gives us Holy Spirit to indwell us, to lead us, to communicate with us, to convict us, to reveal stuff, to transform us and to empower us to do things for God. We have the family of God. The family of God. For belonging and fellowship and growth and accountability and encouragement. We have an identity and purpose and meaning and significance. We have God's care and provision, His help and His perspective. We get assurance that we're His kids, freedom and confidence more than fear. Our Heavenly Father has given us, will give us, and will continue to forever give and bless His children with these incredible privileges. Isn't that good news? I haven't even plumbed the depth of it. I just wanted to give you a taste. This is what all is provided for you through Christ in the goodness and grace of God for you. It's wonderful news. Well, that leads us now to our next response. And that's this. I will fulfill my family responsibilities. Oh, I thought it was all one way. Remember, this isn't to earn anything. But I fulfill his family responsibilities. You see, great theologian Spider-Man said, with great power comes great responsibility. I just adjust that. He was quoting Voltaire, by the way. With great privilege comes great responsibility. Warren Wiersbe, in his book, Being a Child of God, said, if we want adult privileges as sons of God, we must accept adult responsibilities as his sons. The privilege of being adopted children of God with status brings certain responsibilities that the father expects from his kids to fulfill. That's not unreasonable. So what are these things? I've listed a few. Here's the first one. Fulfilling our family responsibilities means I love, honor, and obey God, my Father. Jesus said the most important thing, the most important commandment in all of the entire Scripture is to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving the Father with my whole being is how we actually love and honor God. We give him our deepest love and our most devoted worship. We give him our lives in faithful service. That means our time, our energy, our prayer, our spiritual gifts and talents, and in response to what he has done for us, we serve him. So we give him our devotion and our worship and our love, and we give him our lives to be used for his purposes. Yes, we love the Father with our whole being. We surrender to Jesus' functional leadership in every area of life. See, this is what differentiates true relationship with God and responding with hearts of love versus religion. This is why people say, well, you get a little religion. You're getting a little carried away. You don't obey everything in this. Well, actually, if you just want a little religion, you can pick and choose what you want to do. But if you want to respond to being adopted as sons of God, and you want to, out of love and gratitude to God himself, oh, we then give him not just, we give him all of our love, and we surrender to his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's 1 Peter 3:5 says, but set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. Lord means leader, master, president, and general manager. He's the one that calls the shots. He is our Lord. And we live in step with his Holy Spirit as he leads us and prompts us and speaks to us. Because in Romans 8, we says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Yeah, so I love, honor, obey God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not the only way. Another way is I become like a son of the Father. You see, this is how we respond in our family responsibilities. It would be unbecoming to act and live and become things that do not resemble the Father nor our eldest son, Jesus. Our eldest brother, I mean. No, I become like a son of the Father. That's how I fulfill my responsibilities. I pursue transformation into his image, into his family resemblance. And that deals with things like my character and my integrity, our thinking and our attitudes, our affections and what we value in life, then our actions and reactions. You see, to become like the son, or to become a son that resembles the Father, we are set apart to be holy and godly. Morally, ethically, sexually, relationally, we are set apart. We are distinct from the rest of the world because we resemble the Father, and we become a son of the Father that resembles him, especially in the image of his son, Jesus. Romans 8 says that for those whom God foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son in order that Christ might be the firstborn of all or many brothers. You see, we become that. God calls us to it. It's this whole predestination for you is to become like Jesus Christ in your character, your thinking, your affections. To become like him. That's what it means to resemble the family of God. We live in union with Christ and share his nature. He gives us all that we need for this kind of transformation through his word, his spirit, his brothers and sisters, his power to change. Yeah. And the degree to which we cooperate with this work of God inside of us in faith, using the resources available, to the degree we do that is the degree to which we are become more and more in focus or resembling our Father and our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. That's why the scripture says that, you know, we will from one degree of glory to another become transformed and changed into his likeness. Little bit by little bit, year by year, change by change. Yes, if we are going to fulfill the family responsibilities that God has, yes, we love and obey God for sure. We become like a son of the Father in our transformation. And we love our spiritual siblings. You see, our Heavenly Father's given us his love for people, especially those in the family, who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And he expects his kids to love each other. Now, as parents, we expect our kids to love each other, to treat each other kindly, to honor each other, and on. It was a challenge at times as a parent, and my dad's here. I'm sure he could tell you stories about the challenge it was to have us treat one another, Joanne and Daryl and myself, all sort of respecting and treating each other with love and kindness. And what amazes me is that those parents who expect their own children to treat one another lovingly and kindly and would even discipline them if they did not, These same people somehow can turn around and act incredibly unloving to their spiritual brothers and sisters and often feel very justified in doing so. I began to think, like, how do we not treat each other loving? Well, we can all get that, but when it gets down to sort of specifics, think about these things, how we gossip about people. If your Father expects us to love each other, then gossiping is contrary to what he would love to see among his kids. Slandering, being jealous, malicious, envious, or mocking. How about this group of being hateful and prejudiced and showing partiality or judging or being disrespectful? And this is such a big one in the church, it seems or it feels, that we are unforgiving towards one another. We were resentful and carry bitterness towards one another as siblings. Sometimes we will tell wounding stories, or we will believe when we hear them without seeing if they're actually even true. And then end up picking up people's causes with more horsepower than even the person. And one of the greatest sins the Father says he detests among his people is sowing seeds of discord among people in their friendships and their families and in their groups and in their churches. Yes, our Heavenly Father has higher standards than our world around us in how people behave towards one another, and he has higher standards than what we naturally would do in our own sinful natures. He wants us, expects us, commands us, and models for us how we are to treat one another. Now, I want you to just listen to these words. This is just one. I could have picked 15 different passages, but let these words wash over us. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Did you know that when we are at odds with each other deeply, we are actually grieving the Spirit? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. How? There's a ratio word here. As God in Christ forgave you. And he ends this by saying this. Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Friends, we carry out our family responsibilities as we love, honor, and obey God, as we become like a son of the Father, and as we love our spiritual siblings. And here's the last one. I respond to what God has given to me, not just by accepting his family invitation, not only by enjoying all of his benefits and privileges, not only just by actually carrying out our responsibilities, but I hope in his family inheritance. That's where I place my hope. You see, ultimately, the final and full inheritance that belongs to the family of God is the full expression of unhindered relationship with God in the wonderful life that is going to come. Yes, in this life we inherit rich blessings of God, his mercy, his grace, his kingdom, and so many things. But the eternal inheritance we begin to experience now will be consummated, intensified, completed, broadened in being face to face with Jesus in unveiled glory and unfiltered love. Oh, in a place of unimaginable beauty and inconceivable joy in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will be freely and fully released from the presence and the effect of all sin, where we will be completely and totally transformed in our character as we are glorified and receive our immortal bodies and we are completely sanctified in Christ. This redeemed world will know no sorrow. How many of you in this room are grieving this Christmas? There's a day coming, friends, there's going to be no more sorrow. How about pain? How many of you in this room are experiencing pain? There's a world coming where there's no more pain. No sickness. No hatred. No more war. And finally, no more death, ever. With these blessings of, and I know, can I hear amen, eternal rest. Eternal rest and uninterrupted peace. Uninhibited joy, mind-blowing worship, pure and perfect fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ from all time and all places. On this life, we have glimpses or tastes or hints or occasions of some of this, but never is it going to be like the never-ending complete fullness that has not yet come. Friends, our hope ultimately does not lie in this world, in this earthly life, in any person on this face of the planet, not in a family, not in your job, not in your home, your cars, or your stuff. Your popularity, none of it. Your health, none of it. Your ultimate and final hope rests in the life that God has planned for your beautiful inheritance for all eternity. The problem is, so much of us, we find that hard to believe, don't we? I mean, are we honest about it? I mean, when I speak to my last church in Cologne, I said, I know this is tough for you because you're going to want to ask God to come back on the weekends. If you've been to Cologne, you know why they want to come back in the weekends. But it's true. And to help us in the meantime and to remind us of who we are and what is coming ultimately, God has given us His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of His Son. He is a living guarantee deposited within our souls. He is the promise of the Father that reminds us of our coming inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 put it this way, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. In the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to teach us, to pour God's love into our hearts for one another. So, here's a summary. How do we respond to what God has given to us when He sent His Son in the fullness of time to redeem us and adopt us and give us status as children, sons of God, and then to give us inheritance that is ours? How do we respond? I receive His family invitation. I enjoy His family privilege. I fulfill His family responsibilities, and I hope in His family inheritance. That's how we respond. So here's my question. Can you say here this morning that you are responding in these four ways in increasing manner year by year? Let me just read them and think this through. And I've been praying for you this week as I came to this point in the message in my preparation. I said, oh God, please, Holy Spirit, can we be honest with ourselves in the room? Am I receiving? Have you received his invitation? Have you been adopted? If not, that's your first step right there. If so, are you enjoying all of the privileges that Christ has for you? All the wonderful blessings as you engage in his life? Are there things as we walk through some of these responsibilities that the Holy Spirit kind of tweaked your conscience and said, and maybe you just don't even think about eternity. So I just want to take a moment to pray silently. I would like to have you commit to responding to God's incredible gifting of adoption, status, blessing, and inheritance, and responsibility. Which of these four ways do you need to respond more fulsomely to the Father? I just encourage you to commit to responding to God's adopting love for you in that particular area. Maybe asking for his help through the Spirit to do so. And then let someone close to you or your life group or someone you know here today, I'd encourage you to vocalize whatever decision you made. You see, life is made by the decisions that we make. You don't drift. You don't drift into the family. You don't drift into experiencing all that God has for you. It takes intentionality and pursuit. You just don't drift into fulfilling all the responsibilities that God expects of you. And without intention, you just won't hope in the life to come. You'll look for it here and forever be disappointed. If today's your day where, as you've thought about this, you realize, you know what, I got to receive this invitation. I've just never been adopted into the family. You can do that by faith this morning. I know it seems ridiculous because we want to do something to earn it, but you can't. If that's you, you could just say, Father, in your heart, just say it to him. Father, I realize I've never chose to respond to your love, your adopting love for me. And so by faith in what your son did, I trust you and I want in. I want in your family. So please, forgive me and take me from that wrong standing into right standing with you. And by faith, I receive the life of Christ himself in my being. And I choose to become a child of God today. I don't know everything. But just like kids, we grow. So I choose to. And I need your help. I give you my life and I ask you to help me, lead me. Thank you. Some of you in this room who have already been followers, family of God, you just need to lean in and enjoy some more of the privileges and the blessings that God's given you by faith. And cultivating this relationship with the Holy Spirit within you, learning to hear His voice. Explore the richness of the Word of God. Let the power of the risen Christ free you from some old hurt and heartache. And some of you, it's just time to step up to some responsibilities. You know you've been letting them slide. You've gotten a little loose with your tongue. You know some relationships out of whack. You know you're not serving. You know you don't love God with all you have, all you are. It's time to be devoted. And some of you need to learn and develop, and it takes training. Training from the Word of God, the Spirit of God, takes training to learn to have a heavenly mind. And instead of living for this little dash between the dates of our life and birth, we are going to live for the line, the infinite line of eternity to come, with all the wonder that God has for us. And that might mean some delayed gratification, delaying some comforts and things on this side to ensure and to experience even more on the other side. So, Father, I know you're working in this place because you love everyone in this room so much. Whatever these decisions were made before you today, you know the people's hearts. I do not. I ask you to seal these decisions, Holy Spirit, seal them, and help every one of us that made decisions today to venture into responding to your great adopting love. So I trust you with these things in the name of Christ. Amen.